Thank you. We will now start our committee meeting. Finance, Chris is not here, but why don't we just proceed with a review of the 23 audit?
Christine,
you're up.
Fantastic. Well, hello to all the new faces that I don't know in this room. My name is Christy Corbin. I'm with X-Shay Front Hunk, and we are the audit firm that performs the district audit. I'm here today just to really give a highlight of the audit process, and if there's any questions, to answer those questions. I did just meet with the audit committee for the district, and went through the financial statements in more detail, wrote out the numbers a little more. I'm not planning on doing that with this room, unless there are any questions, and then I will turn them over to you. No. I will answer any questions that you have, but again, just going to do a high level of the audit itself. There are three, I don't know, did they get drafts, you guys, of all the items?
They did.
Okay.
That's part of your information.
Does anybody want a hard copy? I have one right there.
There were three documents that were given out in draft form. I'm just going to highlight those very quickly. There's a required communication letter. It was one of the items included in the letter form.
Here, Charlie needs one too.
Letter is meant to do is really just highlight the audit process itself. If there are any issues in the audit process, if you know if there are disagreements, difficulties, encounters, anything like that, that would be communicated to this group in that letter. We're happy to report that's not the case. It's a very clean template letter, if you will, really no modifications or significant items that we need to bring to this group's attention. So that's what the highlight of the required communication letter. The other letter in that packet is a deficiencies in the internal control letter. This is a letter that we had last year. Really, they're not considered deficiencies or other matters, and really they were carryovers from previous orders prior to us. Last year, you did have two other matter findings regarding your fixed asset inventory as well as IT recommendations. The fixed asset item was fully resolved during the year. You did have a physical inventory of your capital assets. So that matter has been fully resolved, so that's not repeated here. And you are halfway through the process with your IT plans and the risk assessment, contingency plan, process for reviewing your security policy. Those were kind of the highlight matters. And Stephen, what you can speak to some of that, but you're halfway through that process.
Yes, we did have the risk assessment completed. That was done by the reinsurer, iParks Insurance Company. And then I have a draft of the disaster recovery plan I'm working on, and I would say it's probably about 80% through the process. We're reviewing it now. And then we have a security policy, which this is outside my wheelhouse, as I said earlier. We're going to have to get somebody, an IT firm, to come in and do that security policy for us, which will be to write the security policy, which would, as such, probably require board action if it is a policy. But hopefully, we'll put that in the budget this year, and then next year's audit will have nothing.
Looking forward to that. Any questions on those items?
Just to point out, I think it's important for the board to know, our fund balances are all in good position. Is that correct?
They are all in a positive position, but yeah, we're in a strong.
Are we within fund balance policy?
Compliance on all of them. Yeah, I haven't done that detailed analysis.
I'd like to know.
Once we get the final audit, I will pull those in and do that analysis.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And our net position, there were some in our committee. We had a bunch of discussion because there was a change in how the pension liability is calculated and had an impact on the overview, and that's out of our control with IMRF, so that is what it is. But I thought it was important to point out that our net asset position improved overall by $3.2 million. So I just think, you know, that's a very positive outcome year over year, and I wanted to point that out.
That's very good. I was going to just quickly talk about the main document, which is basically the annual financial report. It does have your audit opinion as well as your footnotes and a lot of the items that Leslie is referring to. Just to highlight again, this is a large packet of many pages. I don't expect everyone to look at that in detail right now. Just the overall highlight of this packet really is the audit opinion is unmodified, and that's what's known as the clean opinion. That's the opinion you're looking for from your auditor, so I wanted to represent that to the group here. There was a new lease accounting standard that was adopted during the year, and so the implications of that standard are reflected in these financials accordingly. Again, all governments that are full accrual have to adopt GAAP 87, and that was just a change in accounting policy that had to be adopted. Again, represented here in these financial statements, took a little bit of time for Stephen and myself, but we got through it. And again, like as Leslie referred to, the significant fluctuations from year to year really relate to the IRF pension. Due to investment market returns, obviously in 2022, it was not a great year. 2021 were much stronger. So all of all of the investment balances flipped. So were there significant losses in those balances in FY22, which is how the actuary calculates your balances for this report. And so you're sitting at a liability position. For last year, you had a strong $6 million asset position, which is really admirable for a pension to sit in an asset position. You expect to be more of a reasonable liability position. So it really did flip back to more of a normal term, but again, solely driven from those investment returns at that market level, again, that you really can't control. So those are really the highlights of the significant changes in the report, as well as was referred to in a very strong position. You know, we talk every year, you know, 10 years ago, your balances, your fund balances, and your net positions were nowhere near what they are to this day. So, again, kudos that you continue to grow those.
Thank you. Any other questions from any trustees? My thanks to X-Shape and Punk. You guys do a great job every year. We appreciate the professionalism and how you handle everything, so thank you very much. And I would be remiss, Doug and Stephen, and now Lauren, a new member of our crew, thank you. I know it's a team effort, I know it's district-wide, but you know, you drive this particular part of the bus, so it's all the work that goes into this, and I know how much work goes into this, is appreciated, so thank you.
So I do want to let all trustees know, if you have any questions about any details, feel free. Hopefully, if you can reduce your questions writing, then I can do the research and get back to the answers on any of the items that are in your report.
Okay.
It may take us a little while, but that's what it is.
I sent you one today.
Sometimes we don't like that. Not so much.
Yeah, mine is probably not so much.
I think we should do a motion at the next week's meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the audit committee will present it. I mean, technically, but I mean, we just did that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So there'll be a motion to accept the audit at next week's meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, and so as soon as I can fill in, and Gordon, shoot me the final.
Okay. So do you want me to?
And the report's due when? The 27th? 28th? Well, 27th. Oh, actually, it could be the 30th because of the weekend.
Okay.
I'm very much, as you see, very much stiffer by getting the report in on time.
Thank you.
Bottom year. I do not want delays.
When, by the way, just as a quick aside, and then we'll move on to the next thing. When is the Moody's call?
That's usually in February.
Okay.
We'll have, just before they issue the bond, we'll do the Moody's call, just before it goes to market.
Okay.
So, but the comptroller's report drives the investor report that we write.
Which?
For underwriting purposes.
Right.
And if they don't have it, they don't have the information filed in the comptroller's report, there's nothing filed with Emma.
Right. Okay.
Everybody, all the investors are going, well, where's the information?
Right.
Because they'll look out in all the previous years.
Okie doke. Well, thank you.
We'll get that done.
Thank you so much, Christy.
Thanks, Christy.
Stephen, do you want to go on to the iParks application? Because I looked at the application online. We haven't filled it in yet.
Well, so we're working on it. We're hoping to get some information today that they can talk about with you.
Okay.
I just wanted to bring it up because we're in the middle. So really, it's not just iParks. There's three insurance things we're doing right now. iParks, we have workers' comp that we have, and then we also have our health insurance, which we're working on now as well. I met with the underwriter, the insurance underwriter, and our agent at Costco, and all of the reinsurance rates are going up across the board everywhere. So that tells me that the insurance, all of our insurance will go up, regardless of what our experience, and I'm talking about the reinsurance rating, it's not the experience rating, not what we've done, what's happened to us, or what, how many claims we have, has nothing to do with that. This is just across the board, all of those rates going up. Now, when you add into that, with iParks in particular, the March storm, we recovered about $150,000 for the damage in the March storm. We have not got anything from the derecho yet, which I expect that to be at least that much, probably. So now we have some experience, upward pressure on the experience as well. I still think iParks is still our prototype. I think we'd be remiss if we tried to go out in the open market and buy policy from, we couldn't even close to doing that. And
they know our business.
Yeah, they know our business.
It's a pool. It's a pool.
Right.
It's a pool. It's a risk pool. It makes sense to us. No, we don't have to bid these. We can RFP them. I intend to get some quotes on the workers' comp. And then with the health policy, which we're working on that right now. So we're in the ditch with Blue Cross Blue Shield right now.
So I wanted to ask you about that because of, you know, we had this conversation in the middle of the hubbub with Blue Cross Blue Shield and Springfield Clinic, and you and Derek and I had this conversation. And so I guess I am curious, and I realize some people, it's hard, right, because some people are very, they have doctors. Is there possible to find, I know like the state has, Aetna as an option, for example, right? And so is it possible to bid outside, and Aetna covers Springfield Clinic and whatever. Is it possible to find an affordable insurance policy that covers the concerns of people being able to stay with their doctors? Obviously, that's a top priority. But get better insurance. I mean,
it's something we're looking at. Is how can we get better insurance? Because we have an awesome policy.
All right.
We have an old I'll
believe you.
Plan that you cannot buy.
All right.
If we cancel that, then it changes our whole world. Now, I don't know that it would be anything that we buy would be a better policy. I don't find that a possibility. But where we're looking specifically is in the small agency, under the table. So we're going through the Department of Insurance, whoever runs it. The small agency
group. Who runs it, CJ?
Yeah, the small agency group. Now, my understanding is we would have to buy one. We would not be able to offer our employees different, like, you want Blue Cross Blue Shield and I want Aetna, and so I go do that. Like a lot of state employees can do that. They can select one of three providers. We would not be able to do that. If we buy in, we're going to buy in on a group policy with one of the insurers, and that's it.
And is that, would that policy, would have to be as good as whatever we're grandfathered into?
No, it can't be. It will not be. And the reason we're going to do it is because our policy we have right now is going to be not affordable anymore. So they came to us with a 13% increase this year. So right now we told them, you know, for a month, we need to beat that down. So then he came to me and said, well, what should I tell them that, you know, we would like? I said, well, you tell them that we want zero. She thought I was joking.
No, but that's how you negotiate. You're a 13, I'm a 0.
That's what I want, and that's what I want. So tell them that's what I want.
Right.
And then we'll see what's like.
Okay. I
wanted to make sure that I let the board know, expect increases.
Yeah.
They are coming. We've had 7% inflation the last 2 years in a row, and it's unavoidable.
Everything's going up.
Personally,
too. It is the world we live in.
I know. I appreciate that you're looking around on the workman's comp and on the health insurance, and I get it from the IPARC perspective. I just think that's what we need to do. I mean, it just...
That's a no-brainer.
It really is.
Are there any park districts that you know of that don't utilize IPARC?
Oh, yeah.
There's Pederma is another big risk pool. IPARCs has the corner of the market on all, like, the downstate. Anything other than, like, the collar suburbs around Chicago, IPARCs. I just spoke to Jason about this.
Yeah.
Jason, Jason.
Jason Johnson.
IPARCs, Jason Johnson about it. Where Pederma is more like Chicago area. But, yeah, they do a good job, too. But
different market.
Right.
Yeah, plus Pederma's nationwide. Right? Are they nationwide? I mean, they have agencies throughout.
I know they are primarily in Illinois. It's possible they're nationwide. I don't know the answer to that.
I really, we haven't always been with IPARC, and I don't know if that's true. One of my very favorite stories is we had an insurance guy come here and tell us we had to stop allowing sledding at Pasquill Park. And he was committee meeting like this, and I looked at him and I let him say this thing, and I said, so how much is it to allow people to sled at Pasquill Park? And he looked at me, that would be $7,000. And I said, well, look at the board, everybody's going, yeah, we'll pay it, you know.
But, dollar
a ride. Right, you know, but there was no disrespect to that gentleman. He's doing his job. Right? I mean, he, from his perspective, that was a logical thing. When we're with IPARC, we don't have those conversations. Nobody comes and says that because they understand that flooding at Pasquill Park is part of what we offer, right, as a community. So, anyway, that's my pitch for staying with IPARC.
Oh, so, just to note, Pederma is Illinois, but they cover more than just park history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Forest Reserve, Conservation, Special Rec, so they have a broader base and also hitting the metro area harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Anybody have any further questions? Any trustees? Okay. Good to see you, CJ. Okay. I can't believe it's... Speaking about embracing my inner nerd, I am really excited about this next thing, which is the master plan update. Go
sure.
For it.
Well, so the board talked last month or the month before about the need to update our master plan. Our current master plan goes from 2017 to 2021. It was a 5-year plan. Todd Stanton with Design Perspectives did that master plan for us. And I think maybe, Leslie, you were the only one on the board that went through that process, probably,
yeah.
To look around. It's a very in-depth process, a very detailed process, and the master plan has helped us guide our decision-making on so many things, from capital improvements to which parks we're going to improve, and how we go about prioritizing those things, how we make sure that we're spending money on the needs of the community, helped us with grant applications to get higher points and receive grants. So clearly the need for master plan is there. Following the discussion, kind of an impromptu discussion, I think, Leslie, you brought it up here before.
At the last committee meeting.
Okay. I talked to Todd Stanton of Design Perspectives and had him put together a proposal to update our current master plan. A copy of that proposal was included in the board packet, and he kind of outlines the scope of services and what would be involved, from the board's involvement to the public involvement, to a statistically valid survey of the community to make sure it's another way to reach out to the public and make sure that we understand what the needs of the community are. So one option is that we could use design perspectives to update the master plan for us. I would certainly recommend that. The other option available to the board is to get proposals from other firms to come in and, you know, kind of start from scratch. I would say when Design Perspectives did our master plan in 2016 or so, that's the process that we went through, and we selected Design Perspectives for a wide range of reasons. One of them being was the cost. I think at that time it was $100,000 to do the project. We had proposals upwards of $300,000. There was a couple for $200,000. And Todd did a great job for us.
Yeah, he did.
We even got to know Todd even better. He's written a lot of our state grants for us that, you know, we've been very successful in those. He knows us. He knows our community. He knows our parks. So that's my recommendation. If we do go out, I think there's a lot of benefit from using him, too, because he can use his template that we have now and just update it rather than starting all over scratch, from scratch. The proposal, the cost and the proposal,
like 53.
Yeah, it was a little over 50, 58,000. Now, this is not a project that was contemplated when we put together our current budget, so we do not have money appropriated for this. So we need to talk to the board about, you know, where we may fund something like this. I think my recommendation is we wait till the audit's done and we understand a little better what those audited numbers are, and then we can look at a couple sources if we wanted to move with this quickly. I had Todd also put together a timeline as part of his presentation or his proposal. I think he was proposing to start in January, and the project would wrap up, I think, in the fall, October, November-ish, something like that, which we can start and stop whenever we want. That's up to the board of how we want to do that.
Yeah, one of the things, it was very thorough, I thought. And one of the things I really liked is, I think, and I'm going off memory here, but I think we had three different public community sessions around the community that we did in different locations where we invited people to come in and give their input, and they were given surveys, and I really like that. I mean, we did an online survey, and I think that's referenced in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we hear from the community, then the better, the better the master plan is going to be. I had a question. I know we have a separate, and it's a little bit of a touchy issue, is that we have a separate master plan for the zoo. And so my question would be, does this include the zoo, or is that something we should discuss at a different time about doing one?
Well, so it depends on how much money we want to put towards these projects. Last time that we did the master plan, we had a plan for the zoo, we had a plan for the botanical garden, we have a plan for the Carillon. We're currently participating with Lucky Horseshoes on the plan for Robin Roberts Stadium, right? The way I look at this master plan, this is one that kind of pulls all of them together. I wouldn't recommend we go out and do all the individual plans because we just can't.
No, I know we can't. I just wondered if this is comprehensive of that. I guess it would be because it falls under the umbrella. I guess if they wanted a more specific one, we would have to talk to the Zoo Society about perhaps funding something like that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I think it's important to note is the timing of this, I do think, is important because we have a lot of aging facilities, a lot of infrastructure issues. A lot of our facilities were built in the 60s. We know we have a real serious pending issue at the Nelson Center with the R22 and the refrigerant plant. It is a very high dollar project. We have four golf courses that could always use improvements. We have several buildings that are nearly and maybe even over 100 years old that we manage to maintain. This building is quite old as well, so there's a lot of things that demand resources, and we have limited resources. I know all of you get calls from the public about, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Where's your pickleball facility? It seems never-ending, I imagine, as a board member getting these calls. So a master plan is also a great tool to help the board say, let's hear all those things, let's bring them in, then to together, the board can make a decision on how we prioritize those things. So when you get those calls, you can say, hey, we have a master plan. We all agree this is a priority, and here's where that falls in the priority. It's number one, or it's number three, or it's not on the list, or whatever
that means. It's actually, and the exercise that we do, it'll be a couple of hours on like a Saturday, right? The exercise of going through that process of even through all the trustees, right, and everybody's different interests, and putting them, basically we put them on a wall and really try to then narrow down, and it really helps focus and get us collectively on the same page. Not that we're not all, you know, we do a pretty good job with that, but it helps really laser focus where we are as a board. And I find that process enormously helpful. So I'm fine with it. Does anybody have any concerns with going with Todd again? I do think Derek's right. I think it's going to cost us a fraction of what it would otherwise cost. It has helped us get millions of dollars worth of grants. And so I think it's a good investment in the district, and I think it's also a really good investment for the future.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
I don't know that we're asking for action this month.
Okay.
I think we get the audit.
Yeah. Done, no, that's responsible.
And then we'll figure out funding first. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then we'll
always got to find money.
Back
seems like a broken record, right? Where are we going to get the money
for
that?
Forever be broken.
Right. Where are we going to get the money for that? Okay. Thank you very much, and Derek, thanks for following through.
Yeah.
Angie, Rec and Maintenance.
Mark.
Rec and Marketing. I always wanted to say Rec. It used to be Rec and Marketing. Like a gazillion years ago. Seriously.
That's what I just wanted to share a couple of reminders with the board that the Park of Carillon is this weekend, 14th and 15th.
Oh, so fun. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Followed by the Jacqueline Spectacular on the 20th and 21st. If you have some free time on the morning of the 20th, we're going to be moving a whole lot of pumpkins.
Will you send something out to the board, like the 19th, to remind us?
Of course.
Me?
I think I've got on my calendar from 8 a.m. to noonish, but I'll send everybody a note.
Okay.
Whoa.
Bring them out.
Maybe you can do
it. Oh.
They're dumb.
And then, of course, Gooly Gooly is on the 27th. We did receive a new sponsor for Gooly Gooly. I was trying to make sure I got that correct, and I will continue to scroll, and I will let you know if you're listening. We have a brand sponsor today.
So, because last year, unfortunately, I think they miscalculated how many people were going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it was confusing, too, last year with the tickets to buy ahead of time versus buying at the store, because I went with my mother-in-law, and she didn't believe me that we should buy our tickets ahead of time, but I did it anyway, and then she was grateful that we did that instead of standing in a line. So I think there was some confusion about that.
Yeah, so who's, are you going to tell us who the new sponsor is?
I am. I can't recall it.
Okay.
Because they came out earlier in the week, so.
Thank you,
Andrew.
And secured
a brand new one,
so. Jason? Rec and Maintenance? No, just kidding. That was a joke. What?
Academy.
Oh, and they're new to town.
A couple highlights we have here for September. The Zoomy Dean Grant is still going. Probably a little bit behind.
Never-ending thing.
We'll wait on steel, as we've been talking about. We continue to wait on steel for outdoor exhibits. We got some concrete poured last week for the exhibit portion of the building and the back sidewalk connecting for employee access. We're waiting on steel. I don't know what's going on with that. Everybody's waiting on steel, it seems like, so... we've expressed to the contractors about the need to get this done by December 31st. We'll keep telling them that, but we're kind of just waiting. Kiwanis Oswa, that project's going very well. Staff got all the LED lights all installed. Parking lot's done. The AD walkways are done. Side amenities are ordered, and we're waiting on the shelter and bathroom. It's supposed to come in September. Now it's October, so we're waiting on that again. So I'm keep waiting on a lot of these things, getting the grants done. It'll come. We'll get it all done, but we're waiting. Drainage work at Lincoln Greens. We wrapped up a really big project last week out of Lincoln Greens on hole number 9. We used all of our bond money out of that account. I think right now we are done with our bond allowed money for drainage at Lincoln Greens. I think we used it all. So it didn't take long to use it. But we'll request some more in the bond and keep doing that. Also, the vet grant. So we're working with Martin. We're getting all the demo specs. If you remember, we're going to demo the building over there and the pool. We're hoping to have that project bid before the November board meeting. So hopefully at the November board meeting, I'll be sitting in front of you with a motion to accept the contract from XYZ contractor. That's what I'm hoping for.
So then when do we get to the design phase of the pool?
That'll be something we can discuss after this. I'm going to get the demo phase done. When we get that done, I'll probably be able to start. If we have good weather and a contractor is available, we're going to push it to start the demo in the winter so we have a spring construction practice. So, maybe we could start that design phase in January, February.
Okay.
The design phase.
Yeah, over the winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, since talking about the storms, I'd be happy to report that we finally have completed all of our storm cleanup.
Oh, my gosh.
In June, but I think he's being patient with us, so we're pretty much all done with that. Hopefully, we're getting more calls. And also, since this is the last committee meeting pretty much before November, we lose a lot of seasonal staff in October. So basically about half of my workforce or the park district, the general maintenance crew, will be gone by the end of October. So October 27th, we lay off most of our seasonal employees. That's guys on the park maintenance, general maintenance, tree crew, sports fields, all those departments lose a lot of staff for the winter. So if you have something come up, give us a call, be patient, we'll put all of our full-time guys on, but we lose a lot of staff at the end of October. That's it. Also, we had a late item that the golf maintenance department gave to me. We're looking to request a purchase out of our operating budget. We're looking to buy 4 club car carryalls for our maintenance department. They're basically people movers. They're equipment haulers off of a sourceable contract, so we'll have a motion on the board agenda next week to purchase 4 club car carryalls for our golf maintenance department.
They were budgeted?
It's already in budget.
I know. You know, talking about all this stuff.
They need trucks.
They're making
trucks.
Yeah.
They're people movers.
Chief?
Nice to see all you guys again. I kind of wish we were back at our place. I love the meeting at our place.
Yeah, me too.
I love the meeting there. Above and beyond whatever you
she's
might
afraid there was a war town, that question.
Yeah. I don't want to get too close.
Beyond where you might have questions about the monthly report, I'm sure you'd be glad to entertain any questions you might have. Right now we stand at 6,665 calls to service for calendar year 23. That is our highest ever. I predict we'll be at 9,000 or so at year's end, depending on how long it stays warm. For the month of October, we're only going to have 2 hockey games. This is kind of a broad view. It jumps around a little bit. School started again in September, so our September report more or less reflects that. Juvenile pranks and shenanigans were way down. Adult crimes of minor confrontation against each other were solid. As a side note to that, the young people got so much play in Castro Park. That individual has been charged. So that will be awaiting a trial if it goes to trial. Worked very closely with Jason and with his other superintendents and his staff during the month of September. Every action has a reaction. So the city of Springfield did a pretty sweeping effort to clear out homeless crime around 5th and North Grand. And yay for them for doing that. The side effect of that was many of those folks temporarily located to Enos Park and Lincoln Park. So we had some re-strategizing to do during the month of September with that. And again, the same old thing, mostly engineering and a little bit of enforcement and a lot of presence.
And I think we've made a dent in that. The woods got trimmed up. Some shrubbery around Shelter 7 was trimmed up. We spent a lot of time there just being a prevention, and it seems to have worked. But definitely their efforts at 5 and North Creative had a side spill into what we do in both Enos and Lincoln.
And by the way, Chief, that has always been my argument as to why having a park district police force, it's important on many levels, but one of the things that I, when people over the years have said, can't believe, you know, you have your own police, and I tell them, when we have a problem at a specific park, our guys can go and deal with it, right? And we don't need to rely on anybody else. But, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that is...
I think we're I
agree with you, Chief. But that's just my kudos to you, and I
Was there any discussion from the city before they did their plan at Fifth and North Plan?
With us?
Yeah. Did they give us a heads up at all, or did we just speak?
I noticed that it was happening.
That's what I figured.
I noticed that it was happening. Let's put hats off to them, because that has been a terrible area with overdoses. And whether you're from the further left side of the spectrum, the right side, or the middle, regardless of what view of crime control you might have, 5 and North Grand is just the perfect recipe for crime and disorder on so many levels. And even though there might be differences of opinion on how to cure that, all the causal factor check boxes are right there on showcase at that place. So hats off to them for doing something about it. Tomorrow, we have our quarterly training day for the police department. I'll have about 4 hours of new training and some refresher training, AED, basic first aid assessments, use of tourniquets for self and buddy care and care of the public. We're finding more and more often that we cannot get an ambulance in this town, that they're all tied up on calls. So it's really reframed what our role is when we respond to injured patrons, traffic accidents, and because of where the parks are all over town, we do respond to a lot, and we are the first on scene for a lot of serious traffic crashes on roadways near and adjacent to the park. So that's going on tomorrow, along with a required quarterly refresher for the firearms, which will be held down in Pawnee. Angela mentioned the October 20 and 21 Jack-O-Lantern Festival as one of our biggest events. So we're geared up for that. We're ready. We have our schedule established, and everybody always loves working that thing. They truly do. November 16th, we host annually, we host a Sangamon County Law Enforcement Executive Breakfast and Training Meeting. That rolls around pretty quickly. It seems like I just bought those donuts a few days ago. It's already going to be time to do that again on November 16th.
That's pretty funny.
Referring back to our report, our speed enforcement is way down, and I predict that it will be way down, and that's because the somewhat controversial, but in my opinion, godsend changes with the crosswalk on MacArthur have made a permanent and long-lasting difference, and that's why we used to have monthly reports with lots and lots of speeding tickets, because that was our spot, and now a high speed through there is not that high anymore. So, hats off for everybody.
It's just
no longer a place you can drive through at 65 miles an hour, and we were catching them at that. So, I think that number is going to remain constant. It's a great example of engineering, education, and enforcement all coming together. So, that's my monthly report. And again, thank you for your support, and I always enjoy getting the chance to share with you what the department's doing.
And you never know, I might just show up one day and say, show me around.
Now's the perfect time. The place was never cleaner than the day.
Oh, I know. So I better come quickly. That's what you're telling me. All right. Stephen, finance?
I want to, first of all, introduce our new staff accountant, Lauren Schau.
Yay!
And so she's working with Doug and myself, and one of our first main tasks before us, besides getting her acclimated to working here, is that we're starting the budget process right now. So this is the FY25 budget. So it's
quit rushing.
2025. Yeah, it starts in May of next year. So takes us 6 months to get this done. Now we have a new, the new budget software, which we bought like in January, February, whenever we bought it. And we'll be utilizing it for the first time. So there will be some growing pains, but I think we'll probably be able to start pushing our start date on the budget back as people get used to this, because it won't take, I can foresee it cutting weeks off of the process, because now it's hosted, so people can log in and enter the budget in, and then save it, and then Doug will have the ability to lock them out, and then we just pull the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, it was always a dance routine, spreadsheets. Someone's sitting there banging numbers in, and then, oh, it doesn't balance, and that stuff will just go away. So, I mean, and that would add days to the process. So that's where we're at. Other than that, I think I welcome Lauren. We've needed the help for a while. We've had a tough time filling it, as we have had a very difficult time filling all positions throughout the district, all departments. It has just really been a Herculean effort, and we're not meeting with a ton of success. We are getting some people. We do have some, but we still have a lot of open spots that we've just been unable to fill. And that I believe, is not anything that's particular to us. It is market-driven, and we just have to learn to deal with it. It's a new world.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Yep, I have one final update. Speaking of filling positions, I've previously communicated to the board, but to let everybody know, we're going to soon be losing Angie as our Director of Recreation and Marketing. Somebody has snatched her up. We wish we could have held on to her for a little bit longer, but we certainly thank you for everything you've done for
the organization
throughout the past year, and we absolutely wish you luck as you move forward.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here, especially with a lot of have the ability to hire and start mentoring from the staff. That's what's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Better winter. Your timing is impeccable. Because the summer, I'm not so sure about, but the winter. All right. Thank you all very much. And we will, a motion to adjourn?
Salute.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We're adjourned.